Welcome one and all to Advent Sunday at Scots. My name is Phil Court and it's my privilege to be leading you in worship this morning and for the following two Sundays while our Senior Minister Phil Campbell enjoys some well-earned annual leave. And welcome if you're joining us online through YouTube. Now, as this is the beginning of our preparation for Christmas, the Advent season, I call you to worship with God's promise spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a promise ultimately fulfilled in the person of Jesus the Christ. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Amen. Please be seated. Hymn, our Advent hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Seated. Well, welcome and thanks for joining us in person at Scots Church and online via YouTube streaming. Now, if you're new to Scots, please introduce yourself on the card near your seat, fill it in and leave it at the foyer desk or scan the QR code so that we may keep in contact with you, and it'd be great if you could join us afterwards for a cuppa and a chat at the mezzanine level, the Westpac Centre just behind us. Now, next Sunday we celebrate Holy Communion at both our 11 o'clock service and also our evening Scots City service. So we'd love to have you here for that second Sunday in Advent. I suppose I should mention the elephant in the room. Yesterday was election day for the state of Victoria, and some of you will no doubt be very pleased and some of you will no doubt be very disappointed. But no doubt the one thing we can give thanks for is the blessing that we can decide these things in a peaceful manner without the threat of violence or the necessity of guns. It's my great pleasure to welcome back the Reverend Mike Rader. It's great to have you here, Mike. And starting this morning, he'll be preaching a three-part series on what the Apostle Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit, with today's topic being patience, something I think none of us can ever have too much of. This evening, if you want to hear Mike preach that same sermon again, you can come along to the Scott City Contemporary Service at 5 p.m. in the Werner Brodbeck Hall, just next door here. All would be welcome for that. So let's stand and sing again. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star. Please be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, you are a God of ultimate and perfect patience. You know the end from the beginning, because you're not constrained by time as we, your creatures, are. Your plans for your creation and your plans for each one of us are unshakable and certain. Father, even as our representative ancestors in the dim, dark past rebelled and sinned, you promised that one day the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And as we focus over these coming weeks on the birth of our Saviour, may your Spirit ever remind us that his path to the cross of Calvary, his death for our transgressions, and his resurrection from death, we're all part of your plan from all eternity. Father, your patience goes on until the very last of your lost sheep is rescued and reconciled to you in the power of your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Parents, if you wish your children to leave now for the Sunday school, they may join Mrs. Sherman towards the back of the church. If you wish them to stay, that's perfectly fine too. Now, it comes to the part of our service where we take up the offering. Now, if you're part of the Scots Church family and you're not already giving electronically, this is your opportunity to join us in financial partnership. And if you're visiting us today, please feel no obligation to contribute. Be our guest. And if you are in any financial need, our care committee has various ways to help you. Our offertory hymn is Come, You Thankful People, Come.
Thank you. us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Glorious and faithful Father in heaven, we praise and give you thanks that today the Church marks the beginning of the season of Advent, the time of preparation and spiritual discernment for all of us as we are getting ourselves ready to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at Christmas. Advent God, we worship you, for you are the Almighty God who was and is to come. Help us that we may indeed be ready and worthy to celebrate the true Christmas, where God has appeared among us in the person of Jesus, that he brings with him love, mercy, forgiveness to the world. We pray for your church on earth, including our church under the leadership of our senior minister, Reverend Philip Campbell. We pray also the Indonesian Christian Church led by Reverend Christian Tirta and St. Stephen's Flemington led by Reverend Andrew Wong. Grant your church the grace to welcome your coming. Inflame our love to yearn for your presence, O Lord Jesus, and enlarge our vision to recognize your coming day by day. Loving God, we thank the Reverend Michael Reiter and Reverend Philip Court, who assisted us in today's worship while our senior minister and his wife are on leave. Loving God, that you would open our hearts and minds and give us the knowledge and understanding to receive your great blessings through the message you've provided us today. Bless us with patience and the courage to trust Jesus despite our failings. Unite the body of Christ in this place and beyond with your everlasting love, mercy, and grace. And protect your church against every kind of evil and temptation. We pray for the victims of abuse from within your church on earth, in our country, and as well as in this place, that they might find a measure of healing, and that they, the victims also, might find reconciliation with God and wisdom, that your church is blessed with the safest for all people, especially children and other vulnerable people. Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals, we pray for those who suffer from illness, loneliness, or mental health issues, particularly in our church community. We remember our session clerk, Rosalie Strother, who recently had her eye surgery. We remember Leah Gordon Brown, who is in hospital, Rianste in aged care, and many others who suffer from COVID. We remember our dear friend Carol Harper, who mourns the loss of her sister, Heather. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love, comfort, peace, and healing grace for them all. And we remember the victims of the recent earthquake in Cianjur, Indonesia. God of mercy and grace, we pray that they may know, be strengthened, and be blessed by your presence, comfort and peace despite their loss, pain, and suffering. May they quickly receive the assistance they need most, the shelter, medical care, daily provisions, patience, and peace of mind. Lord God, have mercy. And now, we pray for our tithes and offering. We pray for those who manage the affairs of our church and the work of your gospel in our world. Grant that with our gifts we may also offer a ready mind and a willing spirit to show forth the truth of the gospel in our lives. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The first reading has been taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I did not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle, one who owed him 10,000 talents, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him. He began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe me.' So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart."
Give thanks unto the God of all your thanks unto the God of all.
The second reading has been taken from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposite to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. May the good Lord add blessing to the reading of His holy word.
Let me pray. Father, we pray this morning that by your word and your Spirit, you'll help us to bear in our lives its fruit for your glory and the blessing of one another. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't particularly like driving. It's just a convenient way to get me from point A to point B. So my family, my wife Sarah, does most of the driving. Because one, she likes driving, and two, she doesn't like my driving. Because I'm always in a hurry. Too many red lights annoy me. If I'm doing 60 k's in a 60 k's, if I'm in a 60 k zone and the guy in front is doing 50 k's, I think unkind thoughts and get twitchy. I might be way ahead of getting there for my destination, but I'm always in a hurry. And that's why I don't like queues. What is it about queues? There's two queues. You want to pick the fastest one, and you always get, it's like Murphy's Law, you always get the slowest one, like every time. The other front is Harry. Harry can't find his credit card. Then it doesn't work. He hasn't got enough cash. And I could fly to America and back by the time he pays his bill. I like it when people laugh at my humour. My point in this little act of public confession is I struggle with patience. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Over these 3 weeks, I want to think with you about some of the gifts of the Spirit. I've begun today, quite randomly, with patience. But before we look at it, I want to think about, just briefly, about the fruit of the Spirit and say 3 things about the Spirit's fruit. Number one, Paul doesn't begin by saying, now the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, etc. So that would be correct grammatically. Because he doesn't want to think about the fruit of the Spirit like we think about the fruit you buy from the market, where you buy the fruit you like. So you might buy, I don't know, melons and apples because you like them, but you don't buy pears and oranges because you don't like them. So someone might say, well, I'm kind and joyful, but not very patient or long-suffering or joyful. No, it's not like that. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is. It's singular. If you like, it's one fruit with many varieties. So when the Spirit enters you, when you become a Christian, he bears in you all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, or it's a package deal. Now, you may have one more developed than another. You might be more patient than you are joyful, but they're all there. It's one fruit. Secondly, I don't think the list here is exhaustive. There are other fruit you could mention, like where's humility, or gratefulness, or generosity, or mercy. There are other fruit he bears in our lives. And third, they're all to do with human behaviours. In the earlier list, he describes what he calls the works of the flesh, those things that tear apart families, churches, workplaces, like fits of anger, rage, jealousy, selfish ambition, envy. Those things which tear us apart and ruin us. Conversely, the fruit of the Spirit build happy and healthy relationships in the home, the church, the workplace. I want to begin with patience. Now, I said they're human virtues, but all these fruit have their foundation in God's character. God is patient. We're his children. We bear the marks of a parent, as all children do. They carry the DNA of their parents. If the parents are tall, thin, and Caucasian, and the child is small, tubby, and Chinese, they're probably not her biological parents. If God is patient, and we are not, we're probably not his child. And we see that in today's parable. It's a story about forgiveness. Peter asked the Lord, shall I forgive this person who annoys me 7 times? Our Lord says no. 77. Or maybe you could render it 70 times 7. 490 times. You keep on doing it. If their repentance is genuine, you're not gullible. You keep on doing it. Then he tells the story of a man who owes a king an enormous debt. In today's terms, $1 billion. I mean, there's no way in the world he could pay it back. It would take him forever to pay back such a debt. And he asked the king to be patient with him. To be patient with me and I'll pay you back. Give me forever and the whole thing is cancelled. It's a ludicrous request. But the king is amazingly more than patient. He cancels the debt. Incredible. Unforgettable. The kind of event that will change your life forever. Well, you'd think so. In Act 2 of the parable, same scenario. A man with a debt. This time, it's a pittance. $20. He owes the servant $20. says the same words. The servant said to the king, be patient with me, I'll pay you back. Well, of course he will be patient with him. What's 20 bucks compared to a billion? Of course he will. But he doesn't. He's impatient. So what's the king do? He changes his mind and recalls the debt and sends him away to a place of suffering until he pays it back. It's a simple allegory. The king is God. The servants, you and me. The debt is sin. In Aramaic, the language our Lord spoke, you may know this, the word for debt and the word for sin is the very same word. We have before God a debt of sin deeper than the deepest ocean, wider than the sky, unpayable. And the cancellation of the debt is forgiveness. And the point of the parable are our Lord's last words. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. Or as you pray each week, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God is patient. The old word was long suffering. God put up with an awful lot of moral garbage for a very, very long time. One of the great moments in the Bible is where God meets Moses on the mountain of Sinai. And God says to Moses, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. God is slow to get angry. In Romans 2, Paul says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Now, you who have children, you know this. I have a friend, a colleague, who had 5 kids and he was in ministry. One child caused him and his wife enormous grief. He stole from them. Regularly the police would turn up at the doorstep with the kid in tow, or they called him to the station. For a while he thought he'd resign from ministry. It was just so bad. I thought to myself, if that were my kid, I'd have kicked him out months ago. But because he wasn't my kid, they didn't. They loved him. And they were patient with him. And he was rewarded. He's now married in a church, and I think he's a solicitor. As I think of my parenting, I think I made the same mistake as a father I make as a driver. I was too often in a hurry to get my kids Christians and going to church, to get my kids mature and obedient. And so therefore, I think I put on them expectations that weren't fair. And I found them frustrating, and I let that be shown. Thank you, God doesn't treat me or us like that. He's patient with us. Of course, there's a time when God's patience runs out. He ran out of patience with the northern kingdom of Israel and their sin and rebellion. He waited for 200 years, then sent the Assyrians. He put up with Judah for 300 years and their sin. And he sent the Babylonians. And one day his patience with this world will run out. And you send Jesus. It's been 2,000 years. More, he's incredibly patient with us. And don't you have family and friends, and you're thankful, and you pray he'd be patient just a bit longer? So our word to Melbourne is, don't presume on the kindness and patience of God. He put up your sin for just so long, and then he'd come. It's meant to drive you to Jesus, who cancels the debt of our sin. That's God's patience. Now, our patience has two features. One we share with God, one I don't think we do. The first is, like God, we are patient with one another. Like the friend in the parable, be patient with me and I'll pay you back. In Colossians, Paul calls us to kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then he says, bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against the other person. Some years ago, I received a letter from a colleague in ministry. It would be fair to say it was the most critical, unkind, and brutal letter I've ever received. He held nothing back and gave it to me both barrels. Now, I knew he was having a hard time, so I wasn't as hurt as normally I am by those letters, but still, it was very hard to read and very painful. About 5 years later, he sent me an email. I've realized how sinful my anger towards you was. In fact, I think you were right in a lot of what you said about me. My words were hurtful and totally out of line. I'm really sorry I did that. I apologize and hope you'll forgive me. I think that shows quite a bit of humility and vindicates, I think, my patience. I didn't strike back. I didn't badmouth him. No one knows his or her name. I've kept it secret. That, I think, is the fruit of the Spirit. When sinned against, waiting for, praying for the day when an email like that might come. Repentance and forgiveness. And linked with that, like God, we are slow to anger. The proverb says, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Have you ever been in a committee with a hot-tempered person? I was once. Almost every meeting, he got angry. I didn't shout and scream, but his face would turn red, his lips would tighten, and you'd feel the force of his anger. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict. Thank God the other committee members were slow to anger. So it seems to me, therefore, when you hear of someone, a Christian, that he or she has anger issues, and there's no maturing or growing out of that, that's a terrible indictment. And again, when I think back of my parenting, I didn't always cover myself with glory. I was too often, as a parent, quick to anger. That's the first part of our patience. We forgive and are slow to anger. But the second part, what the Bible calls patient endurance, perseverance. We keep on going to the very end. Yeah, I'm often sometimes asked, what, Mike, is the kind of irrefutable mark, sign of a real Christian? How can you be sure they're a Christian? Well, it can't be they go to church. I mean, many folk go to church and are Christian on Sunday, but not very Christian for the next 6 days. It can't be that. It can't be they have a wonderful testimony. People often begin with that, and then, as in the parable of the sower, their faith withers and dies. So it can't be a testimony. It is love, but you can fake love. People are nice, and nice can sound like love, but it's not love. It's not self-sacrificial love. So I don't think it's that. The one thing you can't fake, the one sure proof you're born again, a child of God, you have the Spirit, is you keep on going. You faithfully, patiently endure through good times and bad times, through good health and bad health, through success and failure, through a good church experience and a bad church experience, through encouraging Christians and discouraging Christians, whether a loving and devoted spouse or a distant and critical one, whether lied about, gossiped about, abused, even persecuted and even killed, when my eyelids close in death, I'm still loving and confessing Jesus. I love the story of a woman called Evelyn Brand. Grew up in, born in the UK in the late 19th century, early 20th century. She studied at the Conservatorium of Art, went as a single woman as a missionary to India, to what was called the Death Mountains. There she met her husband Jesse, had two kids. They built schools, clinics, taught farming, preached Jesus. At 44, Jesse died. She went back to London, in her own words, a broken woman, beaten down in pain and grief. But against friends' advice, she returned to India, to those mountains, and kept on working. At 67, she fell and broke her hip. By that time, her son, Paul Brand, was there and said, "Mum, she'd been here a long time. It's time to go home. It's time to retire." She said, "Paul, if I leave, who'll care for these people? Who'll teach them? Who'll nurse them? When I'm replaced, I'll retire. Until then, I'll stay." And she did, for another 30 years. She died at 95. They wrapped her body in a simple white cloth and laid her in the ground in the Death Mountains. Patient endurance. In Paul's great chapter on love, how's the first way he defines love? Love is patient. The early church wrote three small books called treatises. The first three they wrote were on patience. For the early church in its first hundreds of years, the key Christian virtue was patience. And in our world that we want it now, in a moment, in my hurry world, it's in short supply. So, beloved, let me exhort you to forgive from the heart. Be slow to anger and endure with Jesus patiently until you see him face to face. Amen. Let's stand and sing together our final hymn.
Please join us for a cuppa and a bit of chat time, if you can, in the mezzanine level floor behind us, or grab a barista coffee if you wish to on the way out. And thank you, Mike, for putting up with that technical problem with the pulpit sound system, and for carrying on. Hopefully we'll have that fixed for next week. So now the benediction. Go in peace, my dear brothers and sisters, to serve our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest on each one of us this day and forevermore.